Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Truck and Got Descended to Equestria. I am Ponyville's beloved graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling cohort Spilled Beans. How are you doing today, Beans?
I'm doing fairly well. It's nice to see a bird getting some attention.
This is a real bird appreciators episode.
Yeah.
And that episode is Season 1, Episode 22, A Bird in the Hoof, directed by the same people as always, written by Charlotte Fullerton, originally aired April 8th, 2011. And, well, we open on a Fluttershy giving a cast in a wheelchair to a mouse.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cute seeing her just, like, taking care of some of the random animals around. We haven't actually, like, seen her really do that on the show yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good to see. Also, I don't think we've experienced an episode by this writer yet, right?
Charlotte Fullerton also wrote a Suited for Success, which was... Yeah. And Look Before You Sleep, the sleepover one.
Damn. Okay. This felt like a different writing style than some of the other episodes have had. But, she's been behind some good ones then.
Yeah, I have my issues with the plot of this episode in particular, but we'll get there. I don't think they're super damning, but we'll get there.
I definitely wouldn't say this is an amazing episode, but it is a Fluttershy episode, and it involves a bird, so it's like, my interests are being catered to.
Mm-hmm. We got to spend a lot of time sneaking around Fluttershy's cottage and peeking at her windows.
When you put it that way, it makes it sound like I do that a lot when it's not the show, and, I'd fucking go over... Because I get invited for tea and shit. I don't go fucking stalking Fluttershy unless it's a requirement of us having to view an episode.
Only for work, of course.
Yeah. The consent of this conceit that we've put ourselves in is a problem at times, but...
Look, we have to watch things happen, and... I mean, I guess if we can't affect horsetry, we can just, you know, walk in there and hang out, but it feels...
Maybe we should do that in future. Just like when it's like crowd shots and stuff. Just enjoy just chilling in the crowd.
Yeah.
What's the worst that's going to happen? The episode doesn't see us? Like, all right.
Yeah. Anyway, it does mean we have to kind of scurry around inside to... Scurry around inside to avoid the camera. What are you going to do, huh?
But that... All we got to do is make sure we're standing close enough to an object that, like, we'll just feel compelled to duck behind when the shot is aimed at us.
I feel like particularly plant-shaped today anyways.
Exactly, right? Look, we had, Apple Bloom in the, Cutie Mark episode doing just this. We know how to do it. She was doing it perfectly fine.
Yeah, we were supposed to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Fluttershy has helped out this mouse, and Angel Bunny runs in, actually being helpful and, like, good for once.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised. That he's not being a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's holding a watch, like a pocket watch. And he does this whole elaborate, like, pantomime thing with it to communicate to Fluttershy that she's late for a very important date.
Oh, I get that. I get that reference.
Yeah, see, it's a white rabbit who's late for an important date.
Yeah, there we go.
Ah.
Relevant in some way.
Yeah, there you go. And this is kind of like the episode has a lot of these, they take a long time to get somewhere. Like, not a lot actually happens in this episode, but there's a lot of these montages and stuff.
Yeah, like the entire episode is either montage or a scene that hangs around too long. It's kind of oppressive, actually.
Yeah, which is one reason I didn't think I rewatched this episode much back in the day. The other one is that it has a twist ending. And, like, you know, even if you don't know the twist, I don't think it's all that exciting. But there's some good stuff along the way, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
Fluttershy, before she runs off, explains that, oh, I have to be at Princess Celestia's brunch that she's going to be at today.
Yeah.
And she keeps, like, being about to leave and, like, saying, oh, thank you for reminding me, Angel. Otherwise, I would have been late and then I wouldn't have been there. And then she goes to leave again, then she comes back in to thank Angel, and then she leaves again, then Angel has to lock the door behind her so she doesn't run back in again.
Oh, I feel very attacked. I have been Fluttershy in this situation.
Yeah, no, this I get. This makes sense. And in this way, Angel is good for Fluttershy. Like, we've seen him be, like, kind of rude to her before and, like, seem like he's taking advantage of her. Mm. But if he does, like, remind her of things and make sure she actually gets to the thing, then good for him.
Yeah, like, I always feel like I just need, like, someone to just slightly be a manager in my life, to just be, like, lean over my shoulder and be like, hey, you have a thing you're supposed to be doing right now. I'll be like, oh, yeah, fuck, you're right. Because my brain won't do that. I need someone else to do it for me. So I get it. I'd like to have this version of Angel around. Very helpful.
A friendly bunny.
Yeah, rather than, like, refusing to eat food that I'm being offered Angel, because that's a piece of shit.
And we cut to Sugar Cube Corner, where Rainbow Dash is fucking with the guard standing outside. Like, she's saying all this stuff to get a rise out of him, like, so how's the pay? Or blah, 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 or whatever.
Yeah, she does a lot of silly faces to try and get them to break character. Doesn't really work.
Yeah, I guess the joke is supposed to be they're like those Buckingham Palace guards that can't react.
Yeah, that'd be my assumption, is that's what's going on there. But, like, damn, they really do just have, like, 20 seconds straight of Rainbow Dash making faces, and that could have been 15.
Yeah, and the joke is it's just that they're kind of no-selling whatever she's doing, and it kind of sets up a joke at the end, but, like, I don't know, like, someone not reacting to stimulus is a lot easier when they're a cartoon and not moving as their default state.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and, like, the joke just doesn't really land.
Yeah.
Although I do appreciate that it ends with Rainbow just being like, well, I'm bored, alright, never mind, and just leaves. Like,
yeah.
That was the good joke of this bit. It's a shame we took so long to get there. Awesome.
Yeah, because it's, yeah, when you do a joke like this, it's like, I know, I'm thinking about, like, the Simpsons episode where Homer, like, you know, he's at the American embassy in Australia or whatever, and he's pointing at the guard who's just, like, a soldier, like a U.S. Army guy. It's like, oh, are you like those army guards who, like, can't react or anything? He, like, makes a bunch of faces at him, and then Marine or whatever, like, punches him, and gets says, like, no, sir, we don't stand for that kind of crap here. And, like, that's at least, like, that's a joke, because it subverts your expectations, but here, there was no expectation. Why would I assume the Celestia's guards aren't allowed to react to things?
Right?
Why would I, like, jump to the conclusion that this is what Rainbow Dash was trying to do?
I mean, it clearly is what Rainbow Dash is trying to do, what with the end of the episode, but...
Yeah, but when Fluttershy shows up and she tries to go in, their wings shoot out like knives to block her path.
They do like the cross spears thing, but with wings.
Yeah, and their wings like shine, like they have like kind of that metal like shine effect to them.
Yeah, and Fluttershy, understandably, refuses to talk to cops and backs down and says she doesn't actually want anything.
Yeah, and then Twilight has to like peek out and be like, oh no, she's on the list, it's fine. Which, like, why did, like, give these assholes the guest list? There's only, like, not that many ponies were invited. Well, I guess quite a few were, but, like, not that many.
Yeah, there were still quite a few ponies in there, and, like, yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, I know I feel like I bring this up every fucking episode, but, like, Fluttershy was part of the group that defeated Nightmare Moon. You'd think these guards would know she's one of the people who should be allowed in. Like,
yeah,
how the main six are not, like, a level of celebrity for that, for, like, saving, like, Equestria is always going to be baffling to me.
Yeah, exactly. But the point here is to show that Fluttershy has anxiety, which, you know,
relatable.
I get it, right? Yeah, no, I would be her in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to the inside. And I think this is the first time we see Mr. and Mrs. Cake.
Also, Spike's helping out by being the flame for some, I don't know, some sort of dish.
Yeah, in my head he's being like the, you know, like you get like creme brulee and they get out like the torch and they brown the sugar.
Oh yeah, that's probably what that is, huh?
Yeah, he's being a pastry torch.
I mean, seems a step up from his last lot in life, so you know, good on him.
Yeah, help a little guy.
Yeah, and, I think this is the first time... I think we've seen Miss Cake before. But definitely not Mr. Cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oh boy, what a chin on that boy, huh?
Yeah, he's a very rectangular boy.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm legitimately impressed with the show for not going for the fat baker. Like, most kids' shows would have, like, the guy who runs the bakery would also be a fat guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, he makes sweets all day, so of course he eats them. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But, no, they made Mr. Cake a twink. Good for them.
Yeah, he's got some elder twink energy on him.
Yeah. Good
and
for
like
him.
Mrs. Cake reads as, like, I don't know, there's something about just the way she's animated reads as, like, maybe heavy set, but not, like... Like, if Mrs. Cake was a human, I would expect her to be, like, not skinny, but, like, definitely not, like, overweight or anything either.
Yeah.
Like, I'm impressed that both characters that run the, the sweet bakery are not, like, fat-coated.
Yeah, like, even when we see Mrs. Cake and Equestria Girls as a human, like, she's a little rounder than everyone else. She's also, you know, older. Like, she's, you know, middle-aged or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
She's probably in her 30s or whatever. Like, she has kids over the course of the series.
Oh.
She's
referring
older
to 30s as middle-age is a little upsetting, but
I
understood.
I don't... Age is weird here, but she's clearly, like, the main six are young adults, and Mr. and Mrs. Cake are, like, one step older than that.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't say either of them feel like they're doing, like, midlife crisis-y shit.
Yeah.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely read as, like, if the main six are, like, early 20s, the Cakes read as, like, they're mid-30s, I'd say.
Yeah, they're a couple. They've, like, been married for a while. They have kids, I think, next season or something like that.
Hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I always like them. They're fine enough. Except for the fact that I am looking at their page on the wiki right now, and it does remind us that they are Pinkie Pie's, quote, employees and landlords. So, canceled.
Yeah. I mean...
Renting out a room in your house to, like, your employee slash apprentice or whatever is probably a different situation than, like, what an actual landlord would do.
Yeah, like, I will always say there is a difference between, hey, I have, like, a spare room in my living arrangement, so I rent it out to someone, and, like... I own 3 properties that I rent to people, and I do not live in the building. Like,
yeah,
there is a level of, I have a room, and I let someone live there to, like, and they pay me some of the, like, cost of running the place to be there, and this is how I make my money, period.
Yeah. You're on thin ice cakes.
Yeah. I don't know, the cakes feel like they're closer to the first one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
They've got room. And, like, Pinkie Pie works for them and seems to be some sort of apprentice arrangement. Like, I don't know. If there's ever going to be a landlord situation, the Cakes and Pinkie Pie are the way I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, they're fine. I'm not going to, like, get up in their faces about being technically landlords.
Mm-hmm.
And Twilight reminds us, and Fluttershy, that she loves, like, giving tender loving care to little animals.
In a surprisingly sarcastic way, before we find out that Twilight's just having a panic attack instead.
Yeah, Twilight is very nervous about this, which is, you know, Twilight is always very nervous when she's around Princess Celestia, for probably good reasons, which I have opinions on Twilight's relationship to Celestia and how they, say, relate to Sunset Shimmer, but y'all don't know who the fuck Sunset Shimmer is yet, so, you know, you'll hear these takes in, like, 2 years.
I can't wait until we get to those takes.
Oh, I have so many of them. But in the meantime, Twilight is just nervous about, you know, her friends spending time with Princess Celestia in a social capacity for the first time ever. Because, you know, yes, they met. You know, yes, you know, Twilight's been writing her letters about them, and...
They met in Cloudsdale for a short period of time.
Yeah, and there was the whole Nightmare Moon thing, but none of those are really, like, casual social situations like this.
Yeah, that's very much just like, you know, Celestia and the rest of the main six all know Twilight, and therefore sometimes they cross paths, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Twilight's nervous, and, you know, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. But meanwhile, Rarity is like wearing a nice dress and like refused to let anyone or anything get near it for fear it'll be stained.
I actually quite enjoy that, like, this episode has some very good comedic timing, and one of it is very much like Fluttershy trying to help Twilight Children. It's like, don't worry about it, like, I'm sure Celestia will already like all of us, and besides, they're your friends, and so she'll like them too, and like, it's just a casual get together, right? And then like, directly off the end of that sentence is just Rarity screaming, "Don't touch me!" from the other side of the room.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
and yeah, we go to Applejack, who is like surrounded by food and is like, isn't sure like what to eat first. Like, do I eat what's the appetizer and what do I start with?
The thing is, she was confused between what's a salad and what's an appetizer and what do you start with. And like, Applejack, are you doing okay?
I think she is overwhelmed. And like, frankly, there's not like a wrong choice here, but.
Else is eating fucking cupcakes and shit. Just eat something, Applejack.
Yeah, you know, it's a party, like, you can have whatever you want, but I get it, right? Like, she knows there is, like, or at least she thinks there is some kind of protocol. Like, this is, she is like, oh, salad fork versus dinner fork mode here, you know?
Yeah, 100%. It's just, it feels weird that, like, Applejack is the one having this issue. Like, if Rainbow Dash was in this scene, I think it would make a bit more sense of her being like, ah, fuck, like, wait a second, this is supposed to be, like, fancy eating, how the fuck do I do this? Like, it...
Yeah, and Applejack knows, at least in her head, this is fancy eating, which I don't think it actually is, but that's the impression she has because, like, the fucking God King is coming over for brunch.
Yeah.
And she knows on some level there's, like, an etiquette to this and a proper order to things, and...
See, like,
she doesn't want to mess it up.
Like, the better version of this would be Applejack and Rainbow Dash, like, instead of this being, like, an internal struggle for Applejack, have, like, Rainbow Dash, like, trying to know which one to eat first and being like, oh, maybe I should just go ahead. And Applejack being like, no, this is fancy eating. You gotta do it right. And, like, both of them getting confused about how to do that and, like, having a little bicker with each other because they like to butt heads. Like, that would have been such a good scene. And have Rainbow Dash in this brunch at all?
Yeah.
Aside from when she was just, like, at the front door? Because that's the only time she's seen here.
Yeah, or, like, before the party, we see, like, Rarity or Rainbow Dash talking to Applejack and, like, getting all up in her head about the right order to eat things in. Like, we would get Rarity, like, now make sure you don't eat your pie before your salad or whatever. And then, like, we could see Applejack, like, trying to remember what the order is.
Yeah. Again, I think it might be better to have, like, Rainbow Dash and Applejack, because, like, again, we've seen their chemistry multiple times. Yeah. We know these two butt heads. Like, it would be also a reason to have fucking Rainbow Dash in the scene, so all the main six are actually visible at the...
And they could be making a scene, like, getting, like, raising their voices, like, pie! Sandwich!
Yeah, right? Perfect.
Yeah.
Because then, instead we get Pinkie Pie afterwards.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie is just bouncing around. She is, like, jumping over a table. She is, like, smashing a pie against her face. She is putting her head in the chocolate fountain.
She is leaning in and eating the cupcake Celestia is in the middle of being about to eat. Like, huh.
Like, yeah, like, she is, like, sitting on the table in front of Celestia. And, like, maybe this is foreshadowing. Because, like, Pinkie Pie does just, like, eat the food out of Celestia's hand, or, like, at least off the plate in front of her. And, well, hand, magic levitation, whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's straight, like, it is moving towards Celestia's open mouth, and Pinkie Pie eats it instead.
Yeah. And Pinkie Pie just, like, sits on the table in front of her, and Celestia is, like, fine.
Yeah, Celestia seems, if anything, slightly amused by the situation.
Yeah. And then, you know, Mr. Cake drags her off and, like, gives her more cupcakes. And we get this whole scene where they gave Celestia a teacup that holds, like, exactly one slurp's worth of tea at a time.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, which, like, Celestia, like, drinks the tea and then, like, empty teacup at 4 o'clock. I'm on it, honey bun. Mr. Cake is such a wife guy, by the way. I love him.
he's very good.
He's always calling his wife, like, honey bun or sugar pumpkin or whatever. It's... You know, this is a character you see a lot of cartoon dads have, and it's endearing.
Yeah, he's a very good cartoon dad. I like him.
Yeah, and pour tea for Celestia, she drinks it. They pour tea for her, she drinks it. And then she pretends to slurp it. And then they pour tea in and it spills. She's like, haha, gotcha. And that's cute.
It's cute, but also, like, the 4chan kids really grabbed on this scene as, like, ahaha, see, Celestia's a troll just like us. Ahaha, look at that, we've got representation in the show as the God King.
Yeah, it's... I like seeing this more... human feels like the wrong word, but, like, it's good to see her smiling, you know, because otherwise she very much comes off as, like, distant figure that, you know... A lot of the tension of this episode comes from, like, Twilight Fluttershy assuming that she'll banish them. And, like, I wonder why they would get that idea, princess.
Yeah, like, this episode's very good at making Celestia seem far more personable than in the past. And, like, especially with, like... I think this is when it happens, right? When the guards, like, comes over and whispers in her ear that she has to leave.
We meet Philomena first.
Oh, yes, right.
And then, yeah. So, yeah, Fluttershy and Twilight are there at the table. Twilight is hiding behind the table. And I think we were off on the other side of the room. It's a party. It's easy enough to blend in once you sneak past the guards. I'm trying not to get too close to Celestia for fear of getting too big. And then we meet Philomena, who is a very sick-looking bird. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we get the whole, like, you know, Fluttershy and Celestia gets talking about animals. You're like, oh, I hear you're big into animals or whatever. And taking care of the woodland creatures.
Mm-hmm. Celestia drops the sentence, I care about all my subjects, great and small.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, there's a really good, like, comedic timing again where she says, nothing means more to me than the well-being of my subjects as her bird is, like, coughing up a lung in the background and fucking dying.
Yeah. Notable for, fellow bird owners. One, this is a fucking round walled cage. So, damn, Celestia, I see you don't care about your pet. Two, the bird's at the bottom of the cage coughing. Like, we only hear the cough and see some feathers fly out the first few times before Philomena's fully, like, introduced. And damn, that cage is way too small for that bird.
Mm-hmm. We do see Philomena, like, on her hoof later. Maybe she gets to fly around the rest of the time. But, yeah. I don't know. It still seems mean. Like, this seems like...
Okay, yeah, but...
It seems like... Even if this is, like, the bird version of, like, a cat carrier or whatever, like, you take them out when you get to the place.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, that is the size of the carrier I had for taking Pemka around back in Human World. And that one was square, because that's better for birds, actually. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember the exact psychology reason, but, like, birds do not handle round cages well.
Mm-hmm. The very least, there's, like, somewhat more volume in there, yeah?
Yeah. It's also, like, oh, I can't remember exactly how it is. It's corners make it easier for birds to climb around in and have a bit more, like, defined space. In a round cage, every side it is just a wall, and it gets confusing for them.
Hmm.
Or at least uncomfortable for them.
Makes sense. And then our guard friend comes in and whispers in Celestia's ear that... I don't know why I expect her to say, like, well, Horse 9/11 just happened. I gotta go deal with that.
Right?
Like, I was imagining, like, my brain was like, oh, this is a callback to the time, like, George Bush was reading a story to kids when it was told 9/11 happened. But no, the mayor just wants to talk.
Which is fucked up. Hey, mayor, wait until the end of the fucking brunch.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so important that the mayor, like, needs an audience now, not, like, after the brunch. Because, like, we never, like, hear what happened at this mayor thing. It clearly wasn't that important. Because, like, this isn't foreshadowing that, like, I don't know, you know, a rock is about to hit the town. Like, yeah, we never hear about this threat again. Which would be fine, it's just, you know, weirdly abrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, on revealing of Celestia having to leave, Twilight does a very cute, like, almost spit take and then saves it.
Yeah.
By basically just shoving her hoof in her mouth again. She does that a lot lately.
Yeah, I guess it works.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then she's like, well, I guess I have to end brunch early. Bye. You know, thank you all for coming, etc., etc.
Yeah. Just fucking walks away.
Yep. And, you know, Applejack's like, oh, well, now that Celestia's gone, I can eat. And then Mr. Cake just, like, drags all the food away. But when we see Applejack leaving Sugar Cube Corner later, she has food. So I guess maybe she talked to Mr. Cake. I don't know.
Yeah, it's unclear.
Yeah, it seems weird that you would make a joke about how Applejack doesn't get to eat and then give her food. But I'm glad she got food. Good for her.
Yeah. Also, we get the various ponies leaving, which does involve Pinkie Pie cartwheeling out the door, because Pinkie Pie is Pinkie Pie, but she collides with a pony that has, like, some sort of, like, apple cake cutie mark thing? Like, it's a cake with, like, a slice of apple on top of it?
Yeah.
So, like, was one of Applejack's relatives visiting for this weird brunch that Celestia threw with a, like, limited invite list?
I don't know, like, there just seems to be, like, a lot of random talents ponies. They're like, you know, Colgate is there, like, Berry Punch is there.
There's, like, a fucking trans Doctor Hooves that's blue in the back there? Or is that Colgate with, like, they had the hourglass cutie mark?
Yeah, like, the one with the light blue and dark blue mane and tail, that's Colgate, because her mane kind of looks like toothpaste.
Okay, but she had Dr. Hooves' cutie mark.
Yeah, the hourglass cutie mark is pretty common. You see it on a lot of ponies.
Okay, all right. I need to just accept that Dr. Hooves regenerates and visits multiple scenes multiple times.
Yeah, like, eventually the show will, like, hear more about its adult fan base, and, like, at least one theory that I've heard about what happens is that Hasbro saw that people were making really good fan animations and, like, shit, we're getting shown up. We have to step up our game.
Yeah.
Like, after last episode, I found the music video for Picture Perfect Pony, which is, like, it's a fan-animated music video about Photo Finish, and, like, it's really good. It's better animated than the show, and apparently the person who made it got, like, a cease and desist from Hasbro or whatever, and maybe they let up later, apparently, but it still sucks, and still, like, at some point Hasbro realizes, A, we have this, like, fan base that notices our shitty animation errors, and B, we gotta step up our game.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, Rarity is, like, backing out of Sugar Cube Corner, like, alright, no pony move or the drush won't get hurt. She's, like, staring everyone down so they don't, like, get too close.
One thing I found interesting was, Berry Punch left before whatever apple cake pony that was. Berry Punch is back in the room to watch
Rarity leave.
Yeah, that one's a little weird. All right.
Yeah, and cherish these now because we will not have these forever.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a time when they actually start caring about where background ponies are in scenes. And then I'll be excited to find them because it'll be erratic gems, not, oh, hey, look, there's Berry Punch in a hat and they're pretending it's a completely different horse.
Yeah. Wow, this one's got a hat.
Right?
And then Applejack leaves with, like, a bunch of food balanced on her nose.
As she should.
Yep, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, whoa, phew, at least nothing bad happened. And then she notices the Fluttershy has stolen Princess Celestia's bird.
I mean, the cage is empty. We can all figure out exactly what happened, but, like, yeah. Yeah. Again, the perfect comedic timing of, ah, nothing bad happened. Oh, wait, no, something bad happened. Very good.
Yeah. And then we cut to Fluttershy's house, who has Philomena.
Yep.
And, there's a lot that happens here. Like, it's this whole log thing where basically nothing she does helps. Like, she sets her on the couch, and she just flops around. She puts her in bed, and there's this really long thing where putting the blanket on makes the bird too hot, but putting an ice pack on makes the bird too cold. But she keeps switching between the two instead of putting neither blanket nor ice pack on the bird.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up.
And then, oh, you need medicine. So she finds this, like, giant pill.
Yeah, fucking giant gel cap.
Yep, and then we get a Fluttershy, who's sitting upright in a chair, by the way.
looking very smug as she watches Philomena try and eat the mountain of food that has been made around this pill.
Yeah, so this episode has a lot of what I've taken to calling horse memes for isekai teens and adults.
Oh, fuck.
Thank you, dude.
That was very good.
But that kind of like smug Fluttershy works every time face, you saw that one a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is one that when I saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the good shit. Dopamine, baby.
Yeah, and this episode is wild because, like, I didn't rewatch it all that much, so I remember all these faces, but I don't really remember the episode all that well. You see these and like, oh, that's where this is from. Okay. And there's one even more famous face that we will see later on.
Yeah. There was the last like Fluttershy episode we had with the Cutie Mark Crusaders. Like that was one of those episodes for me of just like I remembered every bit of the episode separately, but not that all of it was one episode.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
And then
soup.
Yep, and then we also get a very good Fluttershy like lip bite face.
Mm.
Yeah, so Fluttershy makes soup for the bird. But Philomena doesn't really want to eat it. She just, like, kind of refuses to eat it. Like, she just doesn't want it.
I mean, she did just eat a giant mountain of bird feed.
Yeah.
But also, yeah.
But we do see her eating what I hope is mouse food. It's, like, in a big bag.
We do also have Philomena having the one good joke of, like, every time Fluttershy tries to offer the bowl, she, like, turns her head, but, like, her neck just turns into a giant corkscrew until her body is the, like, side that spins out to have it all reorient again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good little bit.
Yeah. And then, when that doesn't work, Fluttershy gets Hummingway, who is a hummingbird. And...
Yeah.
She tries to get Philomena to sing along with the show's theme song.
Yes, which she has sung with birds in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel weird that she seems to be teaching birds the national anthem, but okay.
Yeah,
you know what? Fine.
I guess you gotta teach birds something.
Yep. It's an easy tune to know, so.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah, and then instead of singing, Philomena throws up in Fluttershy's face. So that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, bird eating food for mice. Yeah. Yeah, that's throwing up is the best response to that.
Mm-hmm. Then, oh, well, what if we take you to a sauna? And then, you know, she, like, turns up the radiator so it starts spraying steam everywhere.
Mm-hmm, which doesn't seem to do anything.
Yeah. But we do get a very good, like, flutter smile here, like, a very good, like, big smile from her.
Yee.
And then she lights aromatherapy candles.
With some questionable background music.
Yep. And then, what about a warm bath? And then, we cut to Dr.
You did miss the fact that the warm bath does just make Philomena swell. Like, she just swells like a fucking sponge with all this water. And it is not resolved how that swelling stops. It's just, oh, the bathtub full of water and a tiny bird has now turned into a very large bird.
Yeah, Philomena just absorbs all the water.
It's confusing.
Hmm.
I'm like, I just like blinked and she just wasn't swollen anymore. I don't know where all that water went.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation? Do you like juice the bird?
You like, oh, no, squeeze the water out? Do not juice a bird. Do not squeeze bird. They have very fragile bones. Do not squeeze birds.
Mysterious. And then she puts ointment on the bird, which just makes her break out in hives, and then we get Dr. Fluttershy, who's wearing, like, a surgeon head mirror thing. It's like, a scalpel, surgical tape, and she's just taping feathers back onto the bird.
Yeah, I'm concerned what the scalpel was for.
Yeah, same.
Cutting the medical tape.
They did surgery on a bird.
They did surgery on a bird.
Birdgery, if you will.
Mm. In the middle of Fluttershy, finding herself at her wit's end on what to do. But who's that who comes knocking and then barging in the door?
Why, it's Twilight, of course.
Yeah.
And, hi, Twilight, I stole Princess Celestia's bird to help.
Ha. And Twilight's plan is, okay, so we go and put Philomena in a basket, and we take that basket back to the cake shop, and nothing happened. We forget this even occurred.
Yeah. And but before that can happen, and Twilight's like kind of mad about this, as you might guess. You know, hey, we have to fix this. And then the cops show up.
Yeah. Twilight does have a good point of like, hey, you did take someone's pet bird without asking permission or anything.
Yeah.
Like, Twilight does have a reason to be mad right there.
Yeah, that is kind of a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah. Even if you think you're going to be doing it to help, like, I don't know. Tell someone you're taking their pet before you just take their pet and try and feed it medicine without knowing what kind of animal it is.
Yeah. And Slasher wasn't there, which is kind of the crux of this, but again, you don't like, don't just like fucking steal someone's bird.
Yeah, she was called away to important business and like her guards were there, the ones who had carried the bird there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, the guards are looking for Philomena. They're like, oh, we hope we can find you here, Twilight Sparkle. Have you seen a bird? And Twilight's like, nope, nuh-uh, never seen no bird. And then they have to start coughing to act like it's them coughing and not Philomena.
Which, again, kind of a good bit, but also, like, fucking hangs around way too long.
Yeah.
I know there was a 2018-2019, there was sort of an era of, like, we'll just get comedians in a comedy movie and let them just, like, riff and have fun and not have to stick to script. And then just, like, oh, cool, great, we have comedians doing, like, a joke that isn't really that funny and making it go on way too fucking long and, like, adding little one-liners because it's just what was in their mind and not, like, a written-out joke beforehand.
Yeah, and
it's got big that energy.
Yeah, like, you know, it seemed funny at the time, but it... Yeah, but it's not really funny if you weren't there.
Yeah. It's just cringe.
Yeah. And the guards leave. I was like, well, you better go find the princess's bird. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, thanks for keeping me in the loop. Bye! Which, I do love that she did the bye way of saying it before slamming the door in their face. Yeah. That made me happy.
It's good.
Also, again... Fluttershy doesn't talk to cops.
Yeah.
Silent except for fake coughing during the entire scene. Fluttershy knows how to handle cops.
Yeah. Then Twilight kind of, you know, has anxiety. She's an anxious horse. I get it. And then she's like,
yeah.
Don't you know what could happen if the princess finds out you took her bird? She might banish you or throw you in a dungeon or banish you with the put you in a dungeon in the place she banished you to.
Fluttershy does have a good line early in this discussion where Twilight's like, do you have any idea what she'll do when she finds out you took her bird? And Fluttershy's response was, do you?
Yeah.
Very much like, Twilight, you need to fucking chill.
Yeah.
Like, the start of this conversation is definitely Fluttershy trying to be like, Twilight, you need to calm down about this. But Twilight's panicking does get to Fluttershy eventually.
Yeah, and then, Twilight's like, well, that probably won't happen. But it might!
The good old Tim Pool defense.
Yeah. Probably not, but do you want to risk it? Are you sure? And Fletcher's like, well, I just want to make sure Philomena's okay. And Twilight's like, well, that's very noble of you. Write to me when you're banished. Unless I also get banished, in which case, to somewhere that doesn't have a post office, in which case you'll have to write me.
I have a 62% surety that, in fact, you will be banished to the moon. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a person who's talking about the facts. But like, I think you might get banished to the moon.
Maybe Spike will get to come with you, even though he didn't do anything wrong. He's basically your property, Twilight.
Right? That's a whole...
But it's... You know, again, earlier in the episode, we get Celestia being very affable, very friendly. But, like, I hope Celestia, like... Her darling student, like, believes she will do this, right? Like, she has this reputation.
She did banish her sister to the moon for... 10,000 years or whatever.
Yeah. Just 1,000, I think.
Right.
Only 1,000 years.
I don't know where 10,000 came. Yeah. 10,000 is when you do something actually bad. I don't know why I said 10,000.
Like, if you steal that bird, maybe. Bird crime, easily 10,000.
Yes. Wait. Rita Repulsa. Rita Repulsa is 10,000 years, right?
Yeah.
I'm finally free. Okay, that's where 10,000 years came from probably. In my brain.
And she did, like, oh, I have Power Ranger-like friends who'd be mad at me for forgetting this, but she, like, was under an evil spell that made her hate children or something. I forget.
Oh, okay. All right. Can't just have a villain have to have them...
Well,
whatever.
Okay, she did something very selfless and good, but she lost all her memory except for the part about the children. I should... Listener, if you
they
care about...
They have a redemption arc for Rita Repulsa?
Okay, I'm gonna have to ask about this afterwards, or a darling listener can tell me, because, dear, if you're the person I'm talking about, you could probably listen to this, and if so, you can email me and correct me on Rita Repulsa.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing this letter.
Look.
Please.
Just because her name is Rita Repulsa doesn't mean she can't get a face turn.
Yeah?
She could be Rita Attracta afterwards.
Rita Repulsa from the bad side.
Ah.
Okay. Alright.
Alright, so...
Yeah.
So, but now they can't bring the bird back because they know the bird has been stolen. And so, Twilight's like...
This is the part that bothers me. Because the cage was just open. So the bird might have left. So, you could just be like, hey, we found Celestia's bird.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it seems like you could just, like, you know, go to town and be like, oh, hey, guard guys, look. Or even just, like, you know, go to town, like, let her out of the basket, and then, like, oh, hey, guard guys, we found her.
Or even, like, have her still in the basket and be like, we put her in the basket so she shouldn't run away again.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
But no, both these ponies are getting panic-brained about it.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking clearly.
Yeah, exactly. They could have just said, like, you know, oh, thank God you're here. Well, thanks, Celestia, you're here. We found her. Could you bring this back to her, please?
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about how to best get her back home.
Yeah. But, you know, we have more episode to fill. And,
yeah.
And we have to get Twilight to force Philomena to get better?
Yeah, like... Fluttershy's opinion now is that they can only return the bird once Philomena is no longer sick. So, Twilight's like, well, did you try and give her medicine? And Fluttershy's like, I mean, yeah, I tried, but she didn't want it. And Twilight's like, well, time to abuse your patient, doctor.
Yeah, and like, this is the side of Twilight we will see more of in the future. It is that she, like, when Twilight Sparkle sees a problem, she will solve it in the most direct way available to her.
Yeah, it's either read a book or be extremely direct.
Yeah, which is some good mad scientist energy, and, you know, I hate that she is abusing this bird.
Yes.
But it's something we see Twilight do a lot, and it's...
Under a different context, yeah. I'm sure it's better.
Yeah.
In this scene, it's just like, ah, cool. Let's, like, Fluttershy has repeatedly, like, acted like she is a doctor towards patients with all the animals she treats. So, like, at one point they're like, okay, well, we need to make sure she stops, like picking off the feathers that she's got, that she's not, like, coughing on herself. So, like, Twilight just, like, rams a cone on Philomena, yeah. And Philomena fucking hates it. And Fluttershy even points that out, and Twilight's like, tough love, sister. Okay, what's next on the list of things to try and fix this bird?
Yeah, like, it's fucked up.
Mm.
Yeah, it is very much a character flaw Twilight has, and it is hard to watch here, especially because it's really just a retread of the stuff Fluttershy did earlier, but now they're just, like, forcing the bird to eat the pill and drink the soup and whatever.
Yeah, it's... this episode really just... Nothing fucking happens. A whole lot of energy goes into nothing.
Yeah. The picture of Twilight holding the pill, like, triumphantly, another common horse meme for isekai teens.
I can imagine, yeah.
But Philomena runs away from the soup, out of the cage.
Which, like, opening the cage door to give the bird food and then to close the cage door again, yes, 100%. That is when the bird decides now is the time to fly out of the cage.
Yep.
That is how all birds be.
Mm-hmm. And then we get a chase sequence. Oh, it's just long. It's, like, there's some good bits, like, We see the Royal Guards showing ponies the wanted poster, which is just like a, you know, a picture someone drew, I guess. We see Philomena like wearing a fake mustache,
reading a newspaper.
Yeah, and then, you know, with Twilight Flesh, I'm like, hey, have you seen Philomena? She's like, nope, haven't seen her. And they leave, which is, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a wanted poster that's up, and Philomena, like, draws a giant, like, mustache and beard on it so it doesn't look like her.
Yeah. They do, like, the door thing that, like, they do in cartoons.
Yeah, like, was it actual Yakety Sax that was playing
at
the time?
No, it was a knockoff Yakety Sax.
It was absolutely, like, one note off of being copyright infringement.
Yeah. And, like, we also see them, like, sneaking around behind the guards, which is weird because, like, you're both looking for the bird. Like, you could just say, hey, let's look for the bird together. You both want to find her.
Yeah, like, Twilight's, like, Celestia's most faithful student and the girl in town who tends animals. The two ponies that would be most likely searching for a lost bird, right there.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, we thought we would help you look for the bird. Where is she? We're helping look. Where have you already looked? Like, you're on the same side here. You both want to find the bird.
Yeah, like, it is so very much, like, what is your alibi for being involved in this case? And just, like, have you looked at my entire backstory?
Yeah, like,
everything about me says I should be doing this.
Yeah, like, even if Philomena was missing for unrelated reasons, they would have a perfectly good reason for looking for the bird.
Exactly.
But, anyway.
Then Rainbow Dash shows up again. Hey, it's nice to see her in the episode.
Yeah, so we get them running, and Rainbow Dash is like, hey, you guys racing? I'll win. She doesn't even, like, wait for an answer. 1, 2, 3, go, and zooms off.
Yeah, doesn't ask where the finish line is, just goes.
Yeah.
Really, really just head full of bimbo energy today, which, you know, I like to see it every time.
Yep, she's the fastest pony alive, and she doesn't care about doing a second thing.
Yep. She is too fast to think. Strong of wing, dumb of ass.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we come up on Rarity, Pinkie Pie, and Applejack just kind of hanging out at this fountain. You know, Applejack's balancing an apple on her nose, which is pretty cute.
Yeah.
Fluttershy, like, shows up underneath Pinkie Pie to look in the fountain.
Yeah.
Twilight lifts Rarity up to look underneath her. Sorry, God.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Pinkie Pie's like, oh, hi! And Rarity's like, get your hands off me. Well, get your hooves off me. Because, like, Twilight does just lift her... Not with magic, but with just both of her front hooves?
Yeah.
Like arms would do?
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah? To, like, look underneath her as if she's, like, stepping on the bird enough to make her two-dimensional and invisible. Like, there's no way Rarity could be standing to obscure Philomena from your vision, Twilight.
Right? Unless, like, Philomena was, like, behind legs, but then you could just walk around her.
Yeah. And, like, also, Philomena's not, like, quiet. She's been coughing up a storm this whole time. You would hear her.
Exactly. The guards show up to finally spot Philomena, who is just chilling out on the top of the statue in the middle of this fountain.
Yep. And Philomena is, like, now totally bald. Her last feather falls off, and she has this very melodramatic death sequence where she, like, she coughs and, like, sticks her tongue out and falls flat, like, twice before falling off the statue.
Yeah, and you know, she was falling off the statue, and Fluttershy's like, oh no, I'll catch you, and has this whole, like, run-up, like, kind of epically animated bit, but Philomena just turns to fucking ash when she hits the ground, like, in Fluttershy's hooves, and it is just, if you have, the amount of, like, shock and sadness in Fluttershy's face is... possibly some of the strongest emotion I think I've ever seen put into this goddamn cartoon that we fucking live in. Like, yikes. Holy shit. Fluttershy's gonna need a hug and some therapy after this.
Yeah, she is devastated. And the primo meme from this episode, by the way, the, like, the most enduring pony screenshot for so long after this was this picture of Fluttershy with ash at her hooves crying.
Jesus fucking Christ. I could...
There were a million edits of, like, they would put a TV in her hooves, and then, like, oh, what is Fluttershy watching that she's sad about?
Mm.
There were so many of these edits.
I do want to note, when there is the, like, reaction shot of the group being surprised by Philomena turning to Ash, Rainbow Dash is just there.
Mm-hmm.
She's just in the group. By the way, I hope you enjoyed seeing Rainbow Dash. She's gone now.
She does bow to the princess.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which, like, nobody was bowing earlier, but I guess now is the time to bow? I don't understand the etiquette here.
The princess is out on formal occasion rather than hosting a party. Now therefore, you have to bow.
She's out on formal occasion, such as looking at what used to be a bird.
I mean, right? Look, you gotta respect birds, mm-hmm. even in their ash form.
I am here out of formal bird looking at.
I'm just saying more along lines of, like, she's hosting a brunch for people. Okay, you don't need to bow for her. But, like, you come across her in the street. Okay, you need to bow for her now. Because this isn't, like, a statedly casual event that you have gone to mm-hmm. with the princess.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the cakes even bow to her, like, a few times yeah. during the, like, giving her tea and stuff bit.
Yeah, they are sufficiently reverent. They are performing the proper obeisances.
Oh, I feel like they're going a little excessive, but that's fair. She does seem to have a habit of banishing people, so I guess it makes sense.
Exactly, like, you know, Celestia kind of has this, like, oh, you don't have to treat me like this, you know, you can... I'm just another guest, but also, like, every pony is, like, well aware of what Celestia does to ponies who, like, displease her, right? Like, even Twilight Sparkle, like, the pony or she is closest to, her personal student, is afraid that she will get banished. For aiding and abetting stealing a bird.
Yeah, there's, an extended scene that goes on too long of, like, Fluttershy and Twilight both trying to be the one to apologize, and, like, Fluttershy's like, ah, but it's my fault, and Twilight's like, ah, but she'll be nicer on me, so let me do it.
Yeah, and they both try to take the blame. Pinkie Pie shows up and tries to take the blame, but she's like, oh, no, wait. What are we doing? And then...
Wait. Yeah. God damn it, Pinkie Pie.
Yeah, and then Fluttershy apologizes, and then Celestia's like, oh, stop fooling around, you pile of ashes.
Yeah, Philomena, you're scaring every pony. Stop this shit.
Yeah, and then Philomena was a phoenix the entire time.
Yeah, kind of saw that coming, but hey, yeah. Here we are.
Which is, like, again, why would you rewatch this episode, right? Like, there's a reason I only watched this once back in the day is like, well, like, what you know, like, the twist is just a bunch of memorable images and tedious bits.
Yeah. Like, the thing that really stands out to me in this one is that the art style Philomena's drawn in is just completely different. Like,
yeah, she doesn't have an outline.
Yeah, like, she only has line work for, like, the edge of her wing when her wing is folded up. Like, it's a very, almost impressionist style,
yeah,
as opposed to, like, the very, like, literal cartoonist style the rest of the world's in.
Yeah.
Like, she actually looks like she's fucking photoshopped in when she's sitting on Celestia's, like, leg.
Yeah, she looks like she's from an entirely different cartoon. Like, when, like, Rainbow Dash is talking to her later, I'm getting ahead of myself, so, like...
Yes.
Again, like everything else, this goes on way too long. Like, Celestia explains what a phoenix is, and, Philomena is like, you know, Philomena apologizes to Fluttershy for worrying her.
Which is a very cute, like, little series of chirps.
Yeah. And then Philomena gives Fluttershy a feather as a gift. And then...
No relevance to the last episode.
This is a phoenix feather, not these eagle-type feathers. It's different.
Yeah, alright. Okay.
And then Rainbow Dash, like, tells Philomena, hey, you should take all these guards to make him sneeze or whatever. And, like, it doesn't look good. Like, Philomena looks like, again, like, she's from a completely different cartoon. It doesn't look... It seems weird to say a cartoon looks fake.
Yeah, but it does. And it goes on way too fucking long. Like, it was hitting the point of, like, did whoever animated this bit just, like, have... like a tickling fetish that they were nervous about telling the rest of the studio about, and this is their way of getting it out?
It does, like, follow up on the joke from earlier of, like, Rainbow Dash trying to get a rise out of the guards.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, the joke wasn't very good at the start, and it's just kind of bad here, because, like, I don't know. Even if I was a guard that wasn't supposed to react to something, if the princess's bird just came down and landed and then extended its wing to be directly in my face, I think I'd take one step. I'd take one step out to give the princess's fucking pet bird some space.
Yeah.
It seems to leave fire behind when it flies around.
Yeah.
Like, I will give it space, but again, I guess that's why I wouldn't be hired as a guard.
Yeah. Plus, I'm not a fucking bootlicker.
Right? Horseshoe licker.
There we go. Mm. Hoof licker?
There. See, but that sounds like it's actually a fun fetish. I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked either about way. This, right?
Yeah. We have, repeatedly. The one other thing that I wanted to point out, because again, coming back to that very small round cage, like, listeners, if anyone knows birds, and yeah, Pumpkin's thankfully gotten to nap on my back instead.
Aww,
but like
sleepy bird.
Yeah. But like, she's a cockatiel, which is a fairly small bird. Like, the cage as presented is too small for a cockatiel. And this thing is like Philomena, when it, like for most of this episode, is kind of like chicken sized. And Philomena in like full phoenix form, like reborn phoenix, is like even bigger. Like, she is taller than the cage.
Yeah, like she stands on it after she tickles the guards, and she is like, you know, she couldn't even spread her wings out and stand up straight inside that cage. I hope she's not going back in there.
Yeah, like, this bird would have to be hunched over to be on the only perch in the cage, which, I realize I'm getting big on that, but, like, also, damn, that's really bad for birds' feet to only have one size of, like, only one perch and only one size of perch in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really hope this is a cage that is only used for, like, transporting Philomena around when she is, like, doing her phoenix molting.
Yeah.
Because if that cage is used at any other time, that's pet abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's animal abuse right there, actually.
Yeah. We never see Philomena go back in the cage, so, you know. And Philomena does seem like she's happy to, like, stand on Celestia's back or hoof.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you've been around Pem, you know.
Yeah.
That's sort of her vibe as well.
I think it's good to have a bird on you.
Yeah. She's a good little bird.
Aw. Bird good.
Bird good.
Oh, yeah, so we also get, Celestia refers to, I think Fluttershy is, like, about being in the right place child. Which,
yes.
I get is that kind of like, oh, I'm impossibly old, everyone's a child next to me, but it's weird to hear from her.
Yeah, it's the first time I think she's ever referred to anyone that way.
Yeah.
So that's, it's fine. It's weird, like, she could have just called Fluttershy My Little Pony or something.
Oh, she does.
And that would have... Yeah, no, but I mean, like, again.
Yeah.
And that would have just felt fine.
Yeah, because, like, you could just call her Fluttershy, right? Celestia knows her name, and I think has called her Fluttershy before, and Celestia does this weird thing where she calls everyone by their full name. Like, she always calls her Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah, my most faithful student, Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah. We do get a good exchange with Twilight saying, like, you know, Princess, should I write you a letter about this? And so she's like, no, Twilight, I think I can remember this one, thank you.
Yeah, which, like, I do like that, like, the times we see Celestia, like, interacting with other ponies, she does actually, for the most part, seem kind of personable and chill. I appreciate that this fucking immortal being still has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Like, if you're a phoenix, this is, like, the best bit you have. You might as well milk it.
Right? Yeah, because, like, when Celestia's explaining, like, what a phoenix is, like, she does lean down to Fluttershy and been like, and like, I think it's kind of melodramatic, but here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, with, like, ah, oh, I would be interested to see a show where, like, Celestia is more present in the plot line, but maybe, like, seeing her that much would make this far less, like, interesting of a character trait for her.
Yeah. And, because at the end here, we do get, like, Fluttershy's like, what, aren't you gonna banish me or put me in a dungeon or banish me and then put me in a dungeon there? And Celestia's like, no, of course not. But it's like, Celestia, I hope you, like, introspect and wonder why, like, every pony would think this about you.
Yeah.
Like, this is telling and you should work on this, right? Like,
Yeah, this is definitely like, hey, Celestia, your subjects have some opinions you need to address.
Like, even your darling student, presumably the pony who knows you the best, thinks that you will banish her. Right? Like,
yeah.
She's terrified of you, Celestia. That's not a healthy situation to be in.
Exactly. Yeah, the fact that, like, I tried, like, I took your bird because I'm the fucking pony in town who deals with animals, and, like, your pet is clearly sick, and I'm just worried that, like, you're too busy to give it proper attention, so, like, I took it to try and give it proper attention. Like, damn, that, even if you were someone who was pretty big on banishment, probably shouldn't be too high on banishment, looking at what you know about the bird and that the bird, like, fucking doctor sharked, pool sharked Fluttershy into doing this.
Yeah, like...
Like,
no reasonable pony would possibly want to punish Fluttershy for her actions here. But
yeah, like, scold, maybe.
Yeah.
But, ugh.
Which is also, like, what is the moral of this story? I guess it's you should ask people before you take their things, kind of. But there's not even really, like, a lesson here.
The thing is, like, Celestia did point out that, like, if Fluttershy had asked about why Philomena is like this, Celestia would be like, she's a phoenix, like, this is just normal for phoenixes. Yeah. And like, yeah.
Yeah.
The moral is, if something seems weird, maybe you should ask about it. But, like...
Yeah.
It's not conveyed very clearly. Like, the moral seems to be more along the lines of, if you're worried someone might banish you, don't steal their bird, which is a little less actionable.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm sure Fluttershy would have been happy to ask, but Celestia wasn't there. She was away. She got pulled away for a, quote, urgent horse meeting with the mayor who, you know, I find it difficult to believe the mayor had anything actually important to talk about. I think this was a power trip on Mayor Mayor's part, but regardless.
Oh, 100%.
Because, like, you could have asked kind of rings hollow and Fluttershy didn't really get a chance to ask and she was afraid for this bird's life.
And, like, part of her reasoning was, like, Celestia is too busy to properly take care of this bird.
Yeah.
I will go do it because, like, Celestia clearly loves this bird but just doesn't have the time. Which is, like, a fair bit of how birds end up going up for, like, adoption and stuff from, or, like, being sold. Is just like, I love this bird. I do not have time for this bird. I would like this bird to go to a house that can give them proper attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's either that or rescues. And Fluttershy's actions would be kind of both of those.
Yeah.
One, like, a proactive rescuing from, like, someone who just doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
Which is a reasonable assumption. I don't know.
Yeah, like... Looking at the wiki, quote, according to Lauren Faust, this episode, quote, was originally conceived as a tug-at-your-heartstring-style episode about losing a pet. Which I guess makes sense given that we have, like, Fluttershy trying everything to save this pet. But it's not her pet. Like, she doesn't, you know, she cares about Philomena in the sense that she cares about, like, any sick animal. But, like, it's not like Angel Bunny is dying, right?
Like... If Celestia had been like, hey, Fluttershy, you're good with animals. Can you look after Philomena while I have to go talk to the mayor? And then Fluttershy is like, okay, but like Philomena seems really sick, so I gotta do all this shit.
Yeah.
But like, that would have hit that moral better. Because then like, her being really upset about not being able to help Philomena at all would have even more weight. Because like, she had been given the responsibility and... bit off more than she could chew.
Yeah.
But...
Exactly. And that would... Yeah, and that would eliminate the whole, like, why don't they just act like they're also looking for the bird? Not even act like they are also looking for the bird thing in the back half.
Yeah, like...
Like, you'd have to write more episode, right? And this episode is already a lot of filler, right? There's just not much going on, like...
Yeah, like, there are entire chunks of this episode that could just be purged. Like... Hell, Fluttershy trying to do the whole bed thing with Philomena, and then trying to feed Philomena the pill, and then, like, that is when Twilight shows up, and be like, oh, the bird's not eating the medicine. Okay, cool. Let's be forceful. And then, like, go through all the other weird things of, like, both of these ponies trying solutions.
Yeah.
And that just being, like, having two montages squished into one without needing the weird intervening conversation between the two of them.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that I'm going to let the princess's bird die is a much more, like, reasonable thing than the princess is going to be mad I, you know, reasonably helped her bird. And
yeah.
Though, in that case, it would be weird the celestial would say, can you watch Philomena? I know she looks like this, but she's a phoenix. This is normal for her.
Okay. But then, like, instead have it be, like, the thing that would be needed for that would be Celestia having to be more put upon by, like, whatever the mayor needed to be urgent.
Yeah.
So just, like, it's slipping her mind that Fluttershy doesn't know what a phoenix is because, like, I mean, Fluttershy knows what a manticore is.
Yeah.
Like, she knew what a cockatrice was.
Yeah.
Like, she knows a lot about...
But you know what a almost dead phoenix was? Because, like, I think, like, most of the time, Philomena looks all, you know, weird, you know, looks like the pretty firebird, right?
Yes. My point is mostly that, like, Fluttershy, like, I am going for a Celestia makes a mistake yeah. here, in that she knows, because of Twilight's letters, that Fluttershy knows what a lot of other mythical animals are.
Yeah, and so she assumes.
Yeah, so, like, oh, she'd know, she'd obviously know what a phoenix is, too, yeah. So I will just ask her to look after my phoenix, because, like, the phoenix is just, like, on the edge of molting, and, like, hey, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
Like, it could even be, like, a cool little, like, back of her mind thing of, like, how often does a fucking normal pony who doesn't live forever like me get to see a phoenix be reborn?
Yeah.
This is a gift I'm giving this pony while being busy.
Yeah, this will be a fun surprise for her. The plot does hinge on, like, neither Fluttershy nor Twilight, the two ponies who should know best, not knowing what a phoenix is.
I mean, yeah, but, like,
yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. The two of them not knowing is perfect. Like, you can just have, a Fluttershy be like, I have no idea what this bird is. And, like, Twilight can be like, I know Celestia had a pet bird, but I didn't think it looked anything like this.
Yeah.
And, like, there you go. You got, like, a little bit. You got the fact that, like, Fluttershy doesn't know every creature that exists. And Twilight, like, knew of a bird, but didn't really give enough of a shit because she always had her nose in books when she was in, like, Canterlot. Yeah. So, like, never really paid too much attention to Celestia's pet bird.
Yeah, and, like, they're at Fluttershy's cottage the whole time, so they can't, like, go... It would be weird for Twilight to go back to her library to get a bird book. And...
Yeah.
You know. Because, like, phoenix is apparently rare enough that, like, Fluttershy has never fucking heard of a phoenix. She's like, what? A phoenix? Yeah.
Exactly, like, there are so many ways that this episode could have been better to hit the, like, losing a pet thing, and also, like, make the threat of banishment seem more real.
Yeah.
And also, like, would have a fun peek into Celestia being, like, one, she's kind of an immortal being, so forgets that, like, not everyone knows what a phoenix is, just because, like, she's got a pet one, so she always... is aware of it. Like,
yeah.
As well as, like, we could see her thought process of, like, this is the pony who probably knows what a phoenix is, so I will give her, like, let her look after my phoenix while I'm busy, because chances are, like, Philomena will regenerate, and, like, that's probably super cool for Fluttershy to see, and she'll obviously know what it is. She knows about every other mythical creature right there. Yeah. Like, It's such a good plot point that would have given character to every other character in this fucking episode.
Yeah, and, like, that's an actual, like, moral you could tell kids, because, like, something that has happened in real life, or at least, like, you are asked to pet sit and something bad happens to the pet that is out of your control, right?
Yeah.
This is, like, a thing that has happened, and, like, it would probably be a good moral to, like, hey, kids, sometimes... And this world is, I'm sure, generalizable, but even in the very specific case of, hey, kids, sometimes you may be asked to look after a pet that may die beyond your control, and you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Yeah, like sometimes you may be asked to do a thing that will fail outside of anything you could possibly have done. Like, you did your best, you tried your best, and that's what counts. Like, there was no way you could have solved this. If given information of how this would have gone down, you still would have had to either, like, predict the future correctly, or you still would have fucked up.
Yeah, you could have made no mistakes and still lost. You can do everything
exactly,
you can,
yeah.
And, like, you know, the bad thing still happens, and, like, any reasonable person would forgive you for that, even though you're going to be catastrophizing in your head. Like, that's almost the moral here.
Yeah, like that. But, like, if they just played that harder, it would have been better.
Yeah, if this was a responsibility Celestia gave to Fluttershy,
mm-hmm.
This would have worked fine.
Yeah. And, again, it might have been interesting to have, like, the secondary side moral that Celestia learns along the way of, like, hey, sometimes, like, you'll assume someone has information that they don't.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes you gotta double-check that people actually know the things you're assuming they do.
Yeah.
Like, damn, we could have had Celestia learn a lesson in this episode.
Yeah.
Damn!
That would have been good. We could have got 2-1. I don't know, remember, like, a couple episodes ago when we were all excited that, like, oh, Dan, this has, like, 3 good lessons in one?
Yeah. Because, like, the thing is, like, a lot of these kind of cartoons usually have, like, the fact parents are watching them in mind. Like, having the moral be, like, sometimes you'll be asked to do a thing that, like, you can't do. Like, you will do everything right and you'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
That is an okay lesson for kids to learn.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are just outside your control. But, like, having the far more subtle lesson that, like, parents learn from Celestia of just, like, sometimes you'll assume someone has information that seems very clear to you that isn't, and it'll cause problems, and all you had to do was, like, ask to make sure they knew, and then all the problems wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, be sure that you have given enough information for a thing to be done is actually a pretty good lesson for parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, don't assume your children have context for things they don't.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
yeah. Oh, it would have been so good. Oh, the better episode that could have been.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had to play Script Doctor. Well, I mean, okay, no, we did it last time, but, you know, that one was just irreparable. That one was just bad.
Yeah, that one was like, okay, Script Doctor in that we're just fucking amputating the entire leg of this fucking script and rebuilding its body.
We were script coroners. We were doing a script yeah. autopsy.
We were the fucking $1 million man script. We can rebuild
this. We have to the ship of Theseus this episode.
The big Deus Ex of this. We have to Jensen the episode.
Everyone's trying to have a day of sex, but me, I'm trying to have a day of sex. Am I right, folks?
I mean, look, we got a good night's sleep tonight and tomorrow, sure, why not?
Yeah, looking forward to it, too.
Right? Yeah. that's horse?
I didn't ask for this. There.
There it is.
Now that's horse. No,
that's horse, baby.
Our mailbox has been dry recently. I guess we have to say more.
Really?
Yeah, we have to be more controversial, I think. I think, like, Kadabra fucks the spoons. There we go.
There we are.
That'll get us some letters.
I'm trying very hard to think of it. Smoothies are bad. No, I can't say that.
Don't hurt yourself, dear. I can smell the smoke coming out of your ears. You're very cute, nibbleable ears.
I wish we had someone who would send us an invitation to their very good observatory. There we go.
There we go.
All right, fishing for mail.
I'm sure we'll get it eventually.
Yeah. Okay. Not, but like, actually, you don't have to write us letters. Like,
yeah.
We appreciate the ones we get, but like, do not feel you have to.
Yeah. Don't,
as much as we've been joking right now.
Yeah. Don't force it. When the spirit moves you, I'm sure you will find something to write about. Don't hurt yourself, dears.
Don't be like me.
Yeah.
Dear Princess Celestia, I thought too hard.
Yeah, now I have to go kiss Beans' brain better.
I mean, yeah, that'd be nice.
Aw. It's a date, dear.
Yeah.
All right. Truly, yeah. We were hit by a horse truck and got into Equestria. I have been Ponyville's beloved Graceful Spark. You can find my writing, programs, podcast posts, everything else is fit to plug at princess.software. Beans, dearest, where can we find you?
As ever, I'm the one running the horse isekai Twitter, so if you want to send messages that way, I'll see them. Otherwise, you can find all the parts of my brain that aren't stuck here in Equestria at drakos.art, draekos.art.
Mm-hmm. Rest well, dears. Mwah.
Mwah. Bye. Go look for that bird.